2-1 in Mark on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
On the nariz. Nariz Navidad, you know?
I really don't.
No.
It's February 8th,
2024, and I've just been waiting so long for 6 to start. I was waiting for 6 to think it was a battle.
I cleared my throat.
I didn't hear. You got ratioed.
One of those dumb YouTube things, right, where a YouTuber says something and then it gets stuck in your brain, right? This happens to humans.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but some of them. There is one where they're doing a plus ratio joke, where the time they are performing the character of a malfunctioning android, right?
Right.
And so they go plus ratio, plus ratio, plus ratio, plus ratio, plus L, plus ratio. And it's just dumb enough that I like it, and it sticks in my head now.
I see. Six before
I don't
recording.
I like good jokes. I like jokes that are bad in the right way.
Joke is, as they say, joke is a strong word.
Isn't it just, you know, it's got a good heft to it.
It does. Joke does.
And shall we go to our teasy speakeasy to start out the show, and then you can say whatever I just cut you off from?
Yes.
I've gotten all my rage out at the patch. Now I'm just trying to be happy. Because when the new patch drops and I like it, I'll probably be angry all the time. I need something to be mad at, and now that I have the patch of the end yet, so...
One sec. Shout out to Editor 6. I'm going to bump my gain up a little bit, because for some reason it was extremely low. I'm sorry.
He got gain.
Joke is
a word. Have you bumped it up yet?
Joke is a word. I did. I bumped it.
Okay.
It's been bumped.
But all right.
Is it? No, I mean, yeah, I did. I definitely did.
All right. Whatever.
The hips don't lie, as they say.
It's, you know, Shakira, Shakira. Mm-hmm. So I'm here with Red Bull, the green edition.
Six, who are you? You didn't perform your part of the intro.
No, because you stole it from me. I can't use something that's been stolen from me. The taste of dragon fruit, artificially flavored, the wings of Red Bull.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Bottle Crow, a Dota 2 podcast where we don't talk about Dota 2 on a podcast.
Fine. It's February 8th, 2024, and Red Bull is appreciated worldwide by top athletes, busy professionals, college students, and travelers on long journeys.
What about travelers on short journeys?
I think travelers on short journeys are advised to drink water.
Whereas on a long journey, you're advised to drink Red Bull.
Water will be part of this balanced breakfast, but an energy drink will help you.
I see.
Is this
part of your degeneracy? Six is like, don't worry, my desk or my Bottle Crow picture setup is more degenerate now.
Yeah. For you know, the episode notes channel on our Discord, I've just decided they will always be posing with figurines I have around. Now, a thing you will notice about me, and you probably won't notice actually, but none of my figures are horny, and I take pride in that.
That's some bullshit.
Why?
One, I bet that's not true somehow.
I can put all of them in frame.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. I don't have that many. I mean,
I couldn't zoom in far enough to see them all.
No. Hang on.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You've done this.
Oh, no.
So let's just...
Six.
Most
six
of them are amiibo,
are
which
grown.
Are pretty small, is the thing. I'm going to leave out, non-humanoids, for example. Well, not... I have the Emmy from Metroid Dread. You can't interpret that as horny unless you're a real... It's just a big, mean robot with, a mono eye.
I mean, it sounds pretty hot.
But fine, I'll put him in the back. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever you want. Don't care.
Long hair, don't care.
Oh, I need to move these around, because obviously we need the tall people in the back, because we're taking a fucking yearbook photo now.
Hags. I saw an intern at work... long ago, the last summer, must have written hags on a whiteboard, and I just saw it today. Uh-huh. It was a random spot. in a building I don't go to. It's just like,
you know what?
You remember this hags? Okay. Have a great summer. You know, you write it in your yearbooks. No.
No. What?
What? This was totally a thing. Yeah, people like write. Maybe it wasn't a California or Midwest thing. Yeah, it's like you write in your yearbook like hags. Heart.
By the time I graduated, who fucking wrote anything in their yearbooks? Who cared about a yearbook?
What? You're older than I am. We had yearbooks in my day.
Sure, like as a scam for parents.
No, everyone had a yearbook. Everyone had
I see one that you could argue is horny.
See? I didn't even know.
I'm taking
the
picture anyway.
I just tried to cast my lot. There's no shame. You are the horniest. We say in our friend's Discord, you are the horniest member of the Discord because Six will just drop the most obscene.
I can't really see this one in this picture. Let me obscene comments. Because it's hard to make this one stand up.
That's what she said. That's what she said. That's! That was a good joke. Is a strong.
Here you go. Now you could make the argument for Urbosa. I understand.
And which one is this?
In the back, she's the Breath of the Wild lady. She shows a lot of tum. Everyone else, I don't think you can argue there's a horny one here.
I see. I mean, I don't want to.
Cool.
I could, but I don't like. I just don't have a desire to. I mean, Toon Link, you know, probably fucks, as they say. But
I don't think he does.
Oh, okay. Six, what do you have you cracked this thing open yet? I don't believe so, no.
No, I've been moving things around. You
Sorry.
Know how it is.
Yeah, I do know how it is.
All right, well, let's crack this open. I like artificial dragon fruit. I think it's good.
Dragon fruit? I don't encounter it that often.
Ooh, and it smells like... Okay, the mix of artificial dragon fruit and guarana is a good smell. Or is it taurine? Is it taurine that I'm smelling? It's probably taurine.
You're the
master.
I
sometimes conflate the two.
You're the expert.
It's a taurine. There's a little more... Now, this is... You know how there's, like, when people describe wine, they say... They use terms that sometimes you're like, that sounds disgusting, but it's supposed to be a good thing?
Like what?
Taurine? Well, like, people do, like, the cat pee, for instance, right?
Oh. No, I've not heard of this.
No? It's like there's, like, one of the good notes of certain wines is, like, it smells kind of like cat pee.
Maybe that's the old Neller that I use. It's like it smells like an old horse. I say it smells like an old Nelly.
Yes, 15 weird wine terms to know and what they mean. Which this one's pretty straightforward. It smells like cat pee. Like, what do you want to say?
Why don't sound so coy when you say?
Believe it or not, cat's poi is an aroma. Cat's pee is an aroma that many people believe helps identify a high quality Sauvignon Blanc. Anyway,
I think
point
I know
is,
what the smell is. But...
There's a little bit of like
bit of cat
undercleaned men's bathroom smell to taurine. Just a little bit of
undercleaned. That's not a phrase I've used often.
It's like I don't want to get like I don't want to gross no one up too much,
it's
but like
effective.
You know, there's like a thing where someone peed on the toilet seat and then no one cleaned it, and it's not good.
That's not undercleaned. That's uncleaned. I would say.
Well.
I feel like undercleaned is like a courtesy or like a surface level.
Right, but like, what if you just didn't get to that stall or you didn't clean behind the seat or whatever, right?
Percentage-wise,
You're like, you changed the toilet, you changed the paper towels.
You changed the toilet.
Like, okay, you did something. You did something. But anyway, I'm going to drink this drink now.
Tastes like cat piss.
Hmm.
Yeah, that good?
No, not ideal.
Oh no.
Let me lift it up and take a picture. I think it's not going to come through as much in this picture, which is good, but we are getting the classic thing at my household where my roommate has stained every glass with soy milk residue.
Is there a way? I don't know. This is how to remove soy milk residue.
It's just like, there's just like a little bit of a film that it forms at the rim.
And this isn't having to do with your California water?
I don't think so, because we don't tend to drink water out of these glasses.
Purple-ass color.
Isn't it?
I do love the image of drinking soy milk out of this short squashed goblet.
Yeah, it's actually pretty small. Here, I can give you a picture with my hand around it to give you better size context, if that helps. It's not like tiny.
Relative girth, you know.
It isn't a big friend. I think, unfortunately, this is a case where the core red bulliness is overpowering the growth, which makes sense. Dragon fruit is a pretty delicate flavor. Not like delicate like a flower, but it's like, I associate with like vitamin water and stuff. It is not an incredibly strong flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I think, rather getting drowned out here.
That's a shame. But it drowned out in a way that then makes it kind of worse than just regular Red Bull, or?
Yeah, because now it feels like it is like Red Bull with like perfumey notes.
Yeah, that doesn't sound appealing.
No, I would rather have a regular Red Bull. I might not drink all of this, which is surprising.
Wow.
I think this will be the first Red Bull I've had that I'm like, I'm not going to finish this. Because it's just like, the perfuminess is really unpleasant, actually.
That's odd. I mean, how could you improve this? Like, what could you add to this? What if you mixed it with Sprite? I don't know.
I see what you're saying. Like, you're not like saying, like, the core recipe. You're saying, like, since I have this drink in front of me, what could I do to it to salvage
like
it?
Like, a dish, you're like, oh, this needs a little salt. This needs a little acid. This needs, you know.
Let me just pull a Nick. I'll be right back.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Chat? I'm sorry. There's no chat. It's a podcast. I am on the University of Florida's website reading an archival copy of something from the Institute of Food and Agricultural Science on cloudy glasses. There's talk of filming a hardness film from hard water, which is what I was thinking of. Etching that appears. Problems with dishwashers. Well, never mind. This was like 2.5 pages. Not very useful. Not very useful. I wonder. I'm gonna go on Google Scholar. Google Scholar. Look up some white papers. I misspelled scholar. That's a good sign. Soy milk film glass. Glasses. Soy protein lipid.
Oh,
films.
Actually, one more sec. I'll be back again. Just formation. This will be faster.
Wow, this was great. I see. Preparation and characterization of soya film coated paper as food packaging. No. No, I'm not. Not finding maybe soy milk film dishes. No. Effective pH on the protein lipid film properties of soy milk. Dish washing? Film washing. Milk and soy protein films at the air water interface.
Okay, sorry about that.
All good. All good.
So I had what I needed, and then I realized I will need some modification to how I'm doing this in order to
some
be able
holy
to
water.
You know, record the process.
Perhaps some priest's vestment. Yeah, fuck.
I'm gonna move my keyboard back in case I spill everywhere. That seems entirely possible.
I was worried you were gonna say in case I spill egg, as if you were gonna like shake
not
this
so
up with
much.
An egg white or something. You know.
Okay, let's switch to video.
Yikes!
And hit record. And oh boy, this is already spilled some. Okay, I don't think I can. This was a fun idea, but. All right, I have stopped recording. I will put these towels down, or these paper napkins, and then close this.
Is this soy milk? Are you putting soy milk in the Red Bull?
No, I think this might work, is what I'm trying.
Okay.
However, a shit bit of footage.
Oh, what the fuck is this? All right, I'm now viewing the footage. Yep, I see the spill. I'm glad you captured the spill. We've got a funnel going on? What the fuck?
Bad footage, but what I attempted to do
great
was...
footage.
Using it split here, I can take a picture of the grip I had going on.
It's a good color. It's a good color.
It is a good
the
color. They sort of work together well. Move this over here. So I was trying for a one-handed grip so I could pour two at the same time.
Oh, wait,
which
what?
Is difficult. That's why I got the funnel, so I'd have a bigger area to hit. So I was going for something like this.
I was
going to
say,
but that makes it very hard to control the flow of both objects at the same time.
That's quite a reach you've got going on. Yeah,
it was ambitious, but you know, I thought it could work because the Red Bull cans are thin.
Yeah. What is this? Is this like a pink lemonade or something?
So this is Mountain Dew Spark.
Oh, yes.
The one that needs to be, you know, like aerated.
Right.
To be good.
Aerated through a funnel, as they say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, as, you know, again, just trying to make a larger surface area so I wouldn't miss too much.
Obviously.
Failed, of course, at that.
Right.
But let's take a sip here.
Take a sip.
Oh, the perfumey notes, but...
The color has changed drastically to closer to the Spark.
Oh, weird. This is closer to like a chemically grapefruit juice, which is an improvement.
Which is not what Spark is, we should say. Obviously. Like, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Just don't get this drink.
Yep.
It's not that bad, but there's no, it has no merits. Nick, what have you got?
I've got nothing particularly interesting today. I was considering, and then I was like, you know what? Nope. I'm gonna take it easy today. I'm going to go ahead and pour myself a dram of the Glencadam 15 year that I've had before, because this the Glencadam, it's a fan favorite when it comes to me. It's a me favorite. it's a pleaser, you know? It's an all around good thing. I did take a picture of it. Now I'm navigating to the episode notes to post this picture. I've got a whiskey glass here, which has been pre-treated with a tad bit of water and two whiskey stones, just for fanciness. Fake noise?
In order to respond to...
No.
That wasn't bad. In order to respond to some of the comments I'm seeing about my hands, I'm going to go ahead and give a picture with a Switch cartridge balanced on top for scale. Wow. Which is a normal thing to do. Listen, I didn't have a quarter handy.
Right. I agree. from May. Six bringing new meaning to double fisting. Exactly. The Switch cartridge is... It's so strange. I've bought a few physical Switch games for the holidays. And the experience of just opening up, you know, a full-sized DVD ass... What would you even call it? Like the...
Case,
I guess, yeah. And having this tiny little chip in there is really something. It's adorable, you know?
It's cute. I got used to it with the DS, but I feel you.
The DS games
boxes were smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if they were actually proportionally, because they were square and these are like tall, thin rectangles. Proportionally, they're probably actually pretty close in terms of surface area.
Is the sure you are likely to have a DS cartridge around?
Sure. Yeah. Do you want the cart or the box?
The cart.
Oh, cart. Okay, one sec. The cart is going to be bigger, I think.
But then, what the one hell second. Are you saying about proportionality?
I'm talking about the case. You said the case.
Right. Oh, you mean the aspect ratio, not like the actual dimension being longer. I see.
Do you want 3DS or regular DS?
The cartridges are different?
Very slightly.
Regular DS. That's all I ever had as a kid.
I'll go ahead and grab both.
Okay. Yeah, please.
Okay. So let's just get the cases. I should have a case on the ground here that I was about to put away before we started. But I was like, oh, it's on the desk. I have to take it off the desk so I can take photos with my phone.
On the phone.
This is good content we're about to produce right here.
We're actually producing it live. We'll do it live. I'm going to go ahead and...
Photo.
Taking a sniff of my delightful whiskey, the Glencadam 15-year. The Glencadam, like, 12, I think, is there 10? Or is it the normal one? It's kind of on the lighter end. No smokiness, no peat. It's got some floral notes, but the 15-year kind of mellows it down. Some delicious sweetness.
Okay, get that out of there.
And a little bit of cat piss.
Oh, what a lovely coincidence. I can also demonstrate the size of something else in comparison, because there's something else in this case.
Mike! I need a bleep sound.
Well, actually, cartridge-wise, this is actually a bit ridiculous.
Six, can I run something by you?
Sure.
An ear rape version of Wipeout.
I think it lacks merit.
Sorry. It would be perfect for the show.
Okay, so here are the boxes, how they stack up, right?
Right.
We have here Switch, 3DS, and DS.
Mm-hmm.
And then here are the cartridges, and it just so happens my Switch copy of Elite Beat Agents here had my DS Rumble Pack in it, which is, of course, a GBA cart. So you can have that size comparison as well.
I forgot that the DS had a GBA thing on the bottom.
Yeah. Well, obviously, eventually it did not. The DSi did not.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. That's probably why. Okay, so the Switch. Oh, wow. Yeah, the DS is much wider than I remembered compared to the Switch. I mean, obviously, the contents are actually different. But, Elite PD. Yeah, I did not know that the 3DS had a little...
It just has that little tab on the side. Yeah.
It's reverse compatible, I assume. Like, you can put DS games in a 3DS, rather.
Yes, but the tab is there so you can't do the reverse.
Right.
Because that wouldn't work.
See, the DS, like, I feel like that nice square box is, like, the perfect size for the little chip you get in there. Because, like, you can center it and you can, like, highlight the chip and the case doesn't feel, like, hilariously large in comparison.
Okay, we'll have to take more pictures, I see, is what you're saying.
I do. I think so. It's just, like... Actually, I don't remember if the DS is going to be centered. Saying.
I shouldn't spoil that.
Yeah, no.
A
picture is worth a thousand.
An interesting comparison here. Truly. I'm going to post... You know what? I'm going to flip this over. I don't want anyone stealing my Prince of Persia Warrior Within outfit redeem code.
I do, actually.
If you want to steal my Club Nintendo code, you're allowed to do that.
Is Club Nintendo still a thing, or is that the one that can't club?
I bet it's not, but I have the code here.
It's a discontinued customer loyalty program. Wow.
Okay, let's get a good, like, crane shot of this shit.
In 2015.
I think you'll also get my pill organizer, so good for you.
Nice. Good for me. Good for meat?
Good for me.
Right.
So, interesting, yes. Right?
Wow. What is that?
What is what?
Did the DS game come with a Rumble Pack?
No, a different game did, but all of the DS cases, or at least through a certain point, maybe they, like, if someone's going to be like, the last five games are produced didn't have this, but, like, had a slot for a GBA cartridge.
Wow.
If you go through my DS collection and open shit up, you're like, oh shit, there's randomly this is in here. So the Rumble Pack came with, I believe it was Metroid Prime Pinball?
Guess that makes sense.
And that was one of the... I don't know if it was launched, but it was one of the very early DS games and made by Nintendo. And so they needed to have it for that. And so perhaps they were just like, what the fuck, you know? We already have this shell. It doesn't cost us any extra money. We might as well put this thing on everything. And so now you've got shit where, like, my copy of Pokemon Diamond has, like, a Pokemon Emerald cart in there up what?
A fun treat from yourself to yourself. Or infuriating at some point.
We can take a fun photo of my little case. Yeah, what's up?
My little case. I bet it's like it was cheaper to make them all that way than have two separate, you know, types. So they just decided to do that or something. It's just something that wouldn't happen today. But yeah, so you see the DS, like, look, everything is so nicely proportioned there. I mean, even if you didn't have the Rumble Pack in there, right? You've got the cartridge, so it's centered horizontally, but not vertically. It's probably like, you know, the rule of thirds, whatever. It's vaguely in the bottom third. It looks nice. Everything's kind of proportional. And then you get to the DS, and it's actually, like, really chunky. The border Or maybe it's just the colors and the contrast looks chonkier. And then you get to the Switch, and it feels like an afterthought or like a fix, right? It's like, oh, they were this cartridge was supposed to be 10 times as long. Okay, maybe 5 times as long. And like they had already made the case. And somebody just had to like stick a little SD card ass thing in the bottom there.
I think my theory is they came up with the size of the case first, and they didn't care what the size of the cart was. They're like, what matters is shelf presence.
Yep, but almost certainly. Because, I mean,
Because maybe I will it's say, like, CDs. Just
like, you never see CD. The DS is more of a CD case, right? Size.
It's closer in shape and format, yeah.
But I
whereas this. This is closer, obviously, to a DVD case, but like I will say this for Switch cases. Their shape, their makeup for plastic game cases, which I, as my picture there shows, I have a lot of experience with, they feel really good in the hand.
Well, let me go grab one. I've got these. Like I said, I've got
Yeah, these. take a picture of your hand holding one of the, well, Nick can't hear me anymore, but I really would recommend the episode notes channel this time, folks.
Huh. You know. Now that you say this, you're right. Like, there is something about this case. Now that I'm holding one in my hand, I'll grab a picture of mine. There's something about it that's... Because the aspect ratio is smaller than... It's like taller and skinnier than a DVD cartridge, that case. So like you, it is like holdable in the hand. There's a lot of glare.
May Louise in the Discord has pointed out a big flaw in my approach here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go ahead and provide another photo in a second here.
Yeah, there is like, you're right, and the. Oh my gosh, the clasps or whatever you would say at the top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They're well designed. Like there's a nice satisfying and very positive retention click there.
And there's no like it doesn't have too much like structural instability so that it like bends too much as you're trying to pull it open or anything.
No, it's
you know?
Like so as I'm pulling it open, it does bend the middle. I wonder if I can even take a picture. Let's see if I can take a picture. It does bend, but like it doesn't feel unstable or like you're gonna break anything. Here, no, I have to. Let's get it apart with two hands and then wedge it right before it's about to open. Yeah, I mean that's a significant little gap there. But it doesn't feel wrong. It feels like it was designed to flex that much, which is great. I mean, it's plastic. You should. Take advantage of what you got. Obviously, I think I'm missing a manual or something in my Switch case for Legend of Zelda.
No, zoom in. Focus.
Because this picture I'm about to show you is wild, to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, May Louise pointed out that there's a bunch of... basically said, why didn't you include the Vita cart, right?
Oh, I don't know that I've ever seen an actual Vita cartridge.
And I was like, oh, that's a great point. Because as you can see in the previous photo, I certainly have one close at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so here is every Nintendo and Sony handheld cart style side by side.
So you've got you've got a Game Boy. You've got a Game Boy Color?
Color. Okay. Yeah. And then Game Boy Advance, and then DS, 3DS, Switch, PSP, and PS Vita.
Mm-hmm.
The PSP UMD, as you can see in that next photo, is surprisingly close in size to a Game Boy cart. Like,
yeah.
Almost even in shape.
It's a very small disc that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. And then the Vita cart is almost the same size as the Switch, slightly smaller and incredibly thin.
It seems like this would be easy to lose and feels cheap-ish. I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Especially, like, when did the Vita come out? PS Vita. PS Vita.
I have lost a Vita's cart. That is a fact.
2011 Japan, 2012 in it.
I lost my copy of the Hot Shots Golf that launched with the Vita.
Mm-hmm. I mean, DS cartridges were very easy to lose. I guess the difference between a Vita and a PS cartridge isn't that big, but
I get those are like the only terms. Two. Those are the only two games that I have lost.
Wow!
Is I lost that copy of Hot Shots Golf, and I lost this one's fun. This one's kind of funny. I lost my copy of New Super Mario Bros. 1, but I still had the case. And I held onto it for like 3 years, and I was like, this is stupid, and I threw the case away. A week later, I found the game. I was like, fuck!
I made a sacrifice.
And now, like, every 3 months, I have the thought of, should I go on eBay and buy a new case?
Are people selling a case? So, hold on.
I bet you anything. I bet you anything.
Okay, so describe this for me. What platform?
New Super Mario Brothers DS.
Bros DS case.
$12.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding. Buy it now. Nope. for $12.
Mm-hmm.
From a lot of spots. There's some in worse condition I'm seeing. $10 with free shipping.
Oh, you can get it for slight. This happens sometimes, and it's so fucking funny to me. But if you see, there's one for $10. Yeah, as you said, because Nick, what's different about that box?
Manuals are okay. I'm clicking in. Let's get some more details. I'm not sure.
It is the plastic is red and not black.
Oh, there is another
because
one.
This is the because there's the this is the Nintendo Selects version. This is like the greatest hits version. And for some, I sort of get the mentality, but it still is insane to me. Collectors don't want to pay as much for a greatest hits version.
I guess I get it because like it's not.
But it's also stupid. It's a fucking game. It's the game. Also, I guess I should say there are instances where with older games where that's not true, right? Mm-hmm. Not. In certain ways, I guess. Like, for example, they often fix bugs with the greatest hits version, right?
Right.
Since they're reprinting it, they might as well.
Yeah.
And there are times where this makes a real difference. Real in scare quotes, perhaps, depending on how much you give a shit. But, like, if you have a gold cart copy of Ocarina of Time, you can do a glitch where you can use any C button item while on your horse's back opponent's back.
Oh.
And if you get a gray cart, they've patched that out.
Wow.
Being a gamer who cares about minutia is hell, and your brain breaks.
Being a gamer is hell.
Hell, and your brain breaks. Yeah, no, true.
And the greatest hits, of course, doesn't have the Game Boy Advance cartridge. I never played. I didn't have a Game Boy Advance. So I kind of skipped the Advance and the SP generation.
You should double back and get an SP. Like, that is one of the best handhelds ever made. I have a refurb SP, and, like, people will do this thing where they replace the battery in the screen, right?
Sure. Modding, yeah.
And it's just, like, this is a gorgeous screen with amazing adjustable brightness and a battery life of something like 7 years.
It's
just fucking...
It's crazy.
The Game Boy Advance games are so good. There are so many
classics. You can fit a lot of stuff into the Game Boy Advance tech.
Yeah. It feels like it's sort of like the DS, which is a machine I love a lot and also has a lot of great games, but it kind of has the PlayStation 1 problem, right? Of like, it can do 3D, so a lot of people tried to do 3D, even though really it should just do really good 2D.
Really? I mean, I haven't played a DS. I have fond memories of the Super Mario 64, you know, DS, but...
Sure.
That's also a Nintendo 64 game, effectively. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do, you know, long... I wonder if we'll ever see again the days of, like, the DS and the Wii, you know? Like, actual revolutionary gaming technologies. Like, VR,
I mean,
maybe will come
Switch
back.
The Switch was kind of.
Is it?
I mean, not anymore, right? But the idea of a handheld that you put in a dock and suddenly it's a home console.
That's true.
Was pretty wild.
But it doesn't affect the game.
That's true. And that is one of the big flaws, is people thought it was going to be a thing where, like, the hardware was fat. By the way, right. If you don't give a shit about games, sorry, folks, this is not the episode for you. Glad to hear from you, though. Hang out. But, yeah, I do think you're right. And it makes me wonder if they're going to try and emphasize that more with the Switch 2, because you remember, like, early when the Switch came out,
There
was a bunch of stuff where a game would come out and it would have some performance issues or it wouldn't look great, and people were like, but how does it run docked? It's like, dang, it doesn't make that much of a difference.
Yeah, like the power.
The dock provides more power, but it doesn't have a secondary, like, processing unit in there or something.
Or, like, I mean, you could do a cool thing where, like, it has an exposed heat pad on the back and so you could pipe the heat better, but it's kind of hard and, like... Yeah.
And also with a console, that's a tricky thing,
right?
Because people are going to be putting these in, like, entertainment centers and stuff, which are not, like, kings of thermodynamics.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet I can't. It's like, what if I get a Game Boy SP for, like, work when I have to do, like, long 24/7 shifts, you know? I was trying to think of an instance where I would use a Game Boy SP.
I mean, I guess probably it would make more... The nice thing is the SP is such a nice, friendly size, but it might make more sense to get a Lite, a DS Lite, because then you'd have the Game Boy slot and also DS games.
Oh, I didn't know it had that.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Oh, yeah. The original DS and the DS Lite both have the Game Boy Advance slot.
Interesting.
Now, they can't play Game Boy games, which is weird, right?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Because
the Game Boy Advance can play Game Boy games. Mm-hmm. And then you put a Game Boy Advance basically in the DS, but for some reason it can't play Game Boy games.
There's probably an interesting story there.
Probably. Or, you know, it's just like, it's probably like the PS1, PS2 thing, right?
Well, they were just like a forced upgrade?
Well, the PS2 literally has the PS1 in it.
Oh, I see.
They just use those chips again and use them for, like, lesser jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like then when you want to run a PS1 game, it just switches to those chips.
Mm-hmm.
And the early PS3s had that with the PS2. They just had PS2s in them, basically. But I know, folks, I'm being overly general. They didn't have all the parts of a PS2, but mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying. They had the Emotion Engine chip in there. And they were like, this is too expensive. We're not going to do this. And they stopped. And so the first PS3s mm-hmm. sell for more than the others because they've got that.
Wow. Today I learned. All about games.
Indeed.
Well, I mean, while we're here.
Shall we do a podcast?
Do you want to talk about games?
Sure. What's up with games?
Let's see. Let's first take it to... Where should we go? Let's go to queue time. Fuck. This one has a little
short
bit of
queue.
Queue time has like a bit of a delay before it kicks in, so I double clicked and then because like 3, 2, 1, click. Yeah, so you see that.
Oh, it's got a little silence up front?
Yeah. Six does the thing that I did where I edited in like a 10-second silence before something that Six did.
It's the, like, when did this become hotter than this meme? But it's like that versus, you know, like, fucking, you know, Jackie's Chow or something. It's like... The original bumpers where it's just like, what if you just made loud noises for 15 seconds?
What if we put Dagon in it?
That's a bumper, right?
Dagon strips. Dagon strip. That's a reference. Welcome to Queue Time, where we talk about the other games that you played during a queue for Dota. Not really. You lambasted me the other night for playing Visage. I was playing a spooky game. A very spooky game.
So for context, folks, my exact lines were every break is a new line, a new message. What the fuck is Visage? Oh, yuck. No, thank you. I hope you have a good time or something. I don't like horror. That's all it is. I don't have any particular bump, like... Mm-hmm. problem with Visage. I don't know enough about it. I'm just like, oh, horror. Fuck off. I hate that.
Yep.
But tell me about it.
it's supposed to be one of the spookier games. And it is. It's inspired by PT, you know, the like demo that Hideo Kojima did, the famous one. Yeah. Because it's like in the house and you're walking around hallways. And sometimes it's vaguely like what I've seen of PT. I never played it. It's very spooky. It was good. The graphics were incredible. Like playing it, because when I got the new graphics card, I was like, "Oh, Visage is like a modern game," and I cranked everything, and it was lovely. There were a few glitches that were weird at times. Most of the puzzles were like I could figure out. There were one or two times where I'm like, "There's occasional times like enough that you notice, but not enough to get that annoying." Where like. You're not quite being chased, but like there is an enemy somewhat patrolling, I think, based on like the few interactions I had with the AI in that room or whatever. Uh-huh. And I was like, this is bullshit. I'm going to like look this up. I'm like looking up the answer to a puzzle to not break immersion by getting angry at the game. But that was like two times. Besides that, it was pretty fun. Let's see, how long did I spend in it? All right, I just uninstalled it. This age, 11.2 hours, so probably like 10 hours of gaming. It was pretty good. Very spooky.
Nice. What have I been playing? Pretty much I have been playing some stuff for a podcast. I've been playing some Tokimeki Memorial and stuff.
Is that a visual novel?
It is. It is like one of the first dating sims.
Oh wow!
Ever. So
sounds interesting.
It has a fan translation that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have been playing some of the new Tekken.
Is it fully out now? Tekken 8.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. As of a couple of weeks ago.
How is it?
It's good. I don't know. It's Tekken.
It's a Tekken.
I think it's. I like it better than like 7 by quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it has some more accommodations to make it play more like a 2D fighter while still being Tekken-y. But, you know, ultimately, it's still not going to be my number one pick. I'm just not as much of a Tekken person.
Mm-hmm.
That's Alan. I've been playing some Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. But I think maybe on the podcast, given what we've talked about before, I should share something that Nick may have already read. I don't know how much attention Nick pays to Discord, right?
Mm-hmm.
It
varies,
but there is the story of Jebediah Kerman from Kerbal Space Program 2.
Oh, no, I haven't seen. I've seen Six playing some KSP2, and I even interrogated you one night in a Steam chat on how it was going. No, how's Jebediah?
So at the moment, Jebediah is okay. I have been playing a bunch of Kerbal Space Program 2 since their update in mid-December, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mid-December. Adding the science mode and adding a bunch of features. Adding atmospheric heating, which the game lacked.
Oh.
Which made that, a lot of yeah. re-entry really easy.
Yeah.
And the in Kerbal Space Program 1, there was a science mode, which the concept of the science mode is, like, when you and I have played, we've played on sandbox mode, where you just go in and everything's there, mm-hmm. right? The science mode is like, hey, gather data and do like specific experiments and objectives to gain science, a resource that unlocks a tech tree, right?
Yeah, like progression, a bit of game mm-hmm. in the box.
Exactly. And I think so far, like there's more to do, but already the science mode in 2 is better than the one from 1. I think the Kerbal Space Program 1 was really underbaked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. People just played Sandbox.
Yeah, I never touched it.
But 2, I think it's pretty fun. And I have had a good time trying to, like, actually learning how to do things right. The thing about Sandbox is you can brute force anything, right?
Hmm.
You can be like, shit, I don't know how to build, like, a streamlined, fuel-efficient rocket. I do, however, know how to attach 8 solid fuel boosters to the side of something and just, you know,
add a shit ton of fins and eventually you get there, you know.
Yeah, just have, you know, fucking like who's the good shit, like Sandy Koufax, like throw my ship into orbit, right? Just like, you know, a pitcher.
Sandy Koufax. Anyway. Widely regarded as one of the greatest pitchers in baseball history.
Uh-huh.
Nicknamed the left arm of God.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher. And so trying to actually like learn how to build rockets that make sense and are efficient and have parts that they need in the right way, I've learned a lot of things. First of all, I've learned the glory of asparagus staging. Holy shit. That makes a wild difference.
Yeah.
So like, this is not your area of space aeronautics, right?
No.
The thing is, it like, the science is really simple. The way you apply it is really complicated, right?
Mm-hmm. Well.
The math is whatever. Anyway, that's is like, you get a ship and you're like, okay, the engine will burn this much fuel and like at this rate and generate this much thrust. And you've got thrust to weight ratio. That's all really straightforward, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the tanks themselves have weight, not just the fuel in them, which, mm-hmm. you know, of course they do. But what this leads to is you have this setup where you have like symmetrical, like one by one detaching fuel tanks as they cross feed fuel into each other. And it's like, how much of a difference can that make, right? It's unreal how much of a difference it makes. Like, you take the same rocket and you change the fuel lines and you can go from something that like can barely reach orbit to something that can go to the moon and back.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Wow. And the other thing I've learned about is gravity slingshotting, which I haven't really done that successfully yet. I've actually kind of fucked myself with gravity slingshotting. Because what you want to do is, the way gravity works is you want to go like the same direction as the body you're passing by is rotating to speed up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go against it, you will slow down.
Right.
And I did accidentally go the wrong way and slingshot myself back at the Earth even faster. And that was real scary.
Success. Successfully failed.
But the story of Jebediah Kerman is, in my Force Science campaign, I got Jebediah Kerman. It was my first manned mission to the moon.
Well, congrats.
Thank you. I should say the MUN, excuse me.
Yes, because
it's,
please.
You know, in Kerbal Space Program, please. All the bodies have different names, and there are, in fact, some different bodies.
Did you allow them to hit the floor, or?
Oh, wait for the story, my friend. So we get to the MUN,
mm-hmm.
and
as one does.
First of all, because we're in the science mode, there's some extra campaigns, and it's like campaign objectives, and it's like, hey, we're getting a weird signal on the surface of the MUN over here? Can you check that out? And I'm like, that's crazy.
That's cool.
You know, let me come back because I don't have a lot of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get back home, but I'll check this out later, right? And I start to take off. And I'm like, I don't have enough fuel to get in orbit. I'm stuck on the fucking moon.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, okay, I have enough fuel to re-angle myself and get closer to this signal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have enough fuel to point retrograde that is against my momentum.
Yeah.
And burn until I'm out of fuel to see how much I can slow down. And hopefully I can slow down enough that we don't explode on impact. Right? I had a moment of like, maybe I could get my Kerbal out and like try and like parachute. Or... I'm like the MUN doesn't have an atmosphere. There's no point. It's not gonna do anything. And so we're coming in pretty hot, and the back end hits and the engine snaps off. This part happens in like fractions of a second, right?
Sure.
The back end hits. The back engine snaps off. The fuel behind it that is empty hits. It snaps off. My capsule hits. The heat shield snaps off. And the capsule tumbles a bit and then rolls to a stop. Nothing exploded.
It's like a Lego spaceship.
Yes. Yes. Just coming to
pieces.
That's
just how it works?
I'm like, well, I guess we live here now. So Jebediah gets out and we walk towards the signal. And it's this point where I say spoilers for Kerbal Space Program 2. In fact, I will post the picture and spoiler tag it.
Okay.
Because it took a bit of walking to reach it, which I had to time accelerate for.
You can time accelerate walking.
Yeah, not a lot, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, SP2 spoilers in images. So there's picture one.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I'll get you three in all. Why is it... The is stuck or something. The little, you see the little red circle for where the guy is standing for scale.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I took a picture from the top of this structure with labels.
With labels?
So this is a chart of the Kerbal system. This arc shows the orbit of the various planets, dwarf planets, and moons.
Yeah. There's a fucking Stargate on the moon.
Well, it doesn't do anything. You can't go, like, it can't Stargate you, but, like, you get to it, and there's a weird signal, and you do some science, and you translate it, and it just, you know, is basically just the signal that says, like, welcome, little sibling.
Wow.
And,
but who left it behind?
Well, we get some hint of that. This is not a great picture because I found another one. In Kerbal Space Program 2, Kerbin, which is our equivalent of Earth, has a second moon called Minmus. And it also had a weird signal on it. And I wish I'd brought a flashlight. Because here's the monument on the moon.
Oh, it is a different monument.
And you can't see very well, but the red circle is on Jebediah again, because Jebediah keeps coming back, and so the game keeps auto-assigning him. By the way, the end of that story is I had to build another ship to come rescue him.
I was going
to
say, this means you rescue Jebediah.
I did rescue Jebediah.
Let's go, Jeb.
And it is standing in the hand of a big statue that looks like a Kerbal, except for that the head turns into like a Kraken.
Well, I figured, you know, maybe, oh, they just drop, you know, one of these Stargates on every planet, but apparently not.
Well, I know there's one on Duna, which is our equivalent of Mars. So there might be a lot of them. I don't know.
Right.
And also, just to get you a good shot, here is a Kerbal. This is Jebediah.
Man, they're always so jazzed and or on
they're crack. Always so jazzed. I mean, like, the thing that Jebediah had going for some him speed. Is this game does not simulate oxygen
I was
or
wondering.
Food or water or aging. And so Jebediah stood on top of that arch for 3 weeks.
Jeb is committed, you know.
It took a while to get a mission to save him. That's nothing compared to the mission I had, where I had a mission to exit the, like, Kerbin sphere of influence, right? And go into a Kerbolar, or, you know, solar equivalent, like, orbit. I was like, okay, duck out, duck back, right? That takes a year.
Yep.
Because moving, like, interplanetary travel is fucking long. And this is in Kerbal Space Program, where all of the measurements are shrunk down, right? Everything is smaller and closer together.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like you got to get to Mars.
I do, but I have to learn a lot. Like, I have some stuff and I haven't had time to do it, but I need to learn so many different techniques because so far I've only landed on things with low gravity.
Oh.
And getting a lander that can land on low gravity and take off again is not that hard. But imagine passing through an atmosphere, landing on a decent gravity planet, then taking off again. That's a very different challenge.
Yeah.
And not only that, not only taking off again, then you need to do interplanetary travel back.
Right.
So, it seems like a big ask.
It is a big ask to get things back. Yeah. There's drama at that in real life space world about how difficult it is.
I bet. Yeah, like I see... there's a when you are in the builder, there's a thing called like the trip planner that like checks your delta V, right? Which is a measurement basically of how far you can travel. And you have a like a delta V checker and you're like, where are you trying to go? And you can select like anything, right? And like you've built your ship and you're like, I want to go to ELO, which is like the equivalent of Pluto, right? It's like, or I want to go to like one of the moons of Jewel, which is Jupiter.
Yeah.
And it's like, sure, no problem. And then you notice it's checked on one way trip and you check it a round trip. It's like, you've got to be fucking kidding. No way. There's no chance.
No chance, bro.
So.
Wow. That's very cool.
Yeah. It's Kerbal Space Program.
Makes me want to play Kerbal Space Program. Yeah, like the things you could do with the KSP sandbox with like an actual, you know, game like story framework around it. Sounds fun. Have they added in the capability to refuel and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, I mean they don't have I believe not the the next major update, not the next update, but the next major update is going to add the ability for you to create like stations, right? Like not just you can already technically build a space station by just like launching it into space, having a part, detaching it, and then connecting them together, right? But like if you want to build a colony, that's the next big update.
Oh, I see.
And the way they've explained it working is that if you want resources, all you have to do is like make one run, right? It's like if you successfully do a trip where you deliver this load of fuel, it's like, okay, then we're just going to assume that, that trip happens over and over and we can automate it at this point. Right. But you have to prove you can do it.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's just bring a flashlight, you know?
Yeah, I really wish I'd brought a flashlight. in Kerbal... in Kerbal Space Program 1, all of the spacesuits had headlamps.
And two, they don't.
And I was like, I discovered that when I landed in pitch blackness. And I was like, fuck. Which, by the way, as I am, this picture of the monument on Minmus, you're in a huge crater pretty near the North Pole. And so, like, the spinning of the like planetoid does not change how much sun you're getting.
Yeah. You're permanently shadowed.
You're permanently in the shadow. And I am walking the 2 kilometers to this monument from where I've landed, right?
Yep.
And my craft didn't have landing gear, but the gravity here is so low. Like, Minmus is even smaller than the Mun. It's just such low gravity.
Yeah.
That I was like, I'm just going to land it on the engine standing straight up and it'll be fine.
Yep.
And I'm 1 kilometer away. I'm like halfway there and I get a red pop-up that says, like, you know, like, the craft is called, this one was called, like, Fly Safe X1. Mm-hmm. And it says, like, Fly Safe X1 is on a crashing trajectory. And like, okay, I didn't hear any explosions, so
there's no atmosphere to hear.
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe that's just a bug or something? The game is not, like, disastrously buggy, but it is plenty buggy right now. It's like, okay, whatever. Jumped up onto the hand of that statue, took my picture, flew back, right? The ship was fine. It had just keeled over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lying on the ground.
Who moved it?
And
who moved the ship?
I think it's just that gravity eventually took over. Yeah. Maybe the simulation changed once I got too far away, right?
Oh, that would make sense, too.
Slightly. Mm-hmm. But the process of sledding up the side of this crater without the physics engine destroying my ship.
Yeah.
Took 30 minutes of just like feathering the throttle, making sure I was making forward momentum, but not, boy, if you go over 2 meters per second, you're getting really iffy.
Yeah.
And it's just like
dragging against the minimum.
I mean, all just because it tipped over.
You'll remember the excellent, there's, you know, a clip of it on our our one live Battle Crow we did on, we streamed, where my craft had also keeled over, and I just set the reaction wheels to start spinning the spacecraft, and it breakdanced mm-hmm. itself into a vertical-ish position.
I do recall that.
Did you attempt that maneuver, the cease maneuver?
Well, the cease maneuver was okay. The cease maneuver was very clutch. It was built on a core inefficiency of your craft.
Yes.
Which is, you did not need a reaction wheel that powerful.
Ah.
So I didn't have one. I'm efficient.
You could have just had Jebediah start spinning.
I mean, I do have, okay, hang on. I do have a video I can post. I'll drop in the audio for listeners, though I don't know how much you'll get out of it, because there is a KSP2 video I posted around the here. Oh, it was on Christmas Eve. Okay, cool job, Six. Cool. This is what I was doing on Christmas Eve. Is
what are you doing?
Okay, and I got to do that FX Twitter because the shit still is broken. Anyway, you watch this little video. All
right, I'm gonna watch this little video.
Let's just say I took some cease and inspiration.
Wait, no, I have seen this. I've liked this tweet, but I had forgotten about it. This isn't a great tweet.
You know, thank you.
The camera this work is, going on is incredible.
This is me on the Mun. I've landed. I have a craft with a that is just pretty much like perfectly cigar shaped, right?
Yeah.
It's like no shit on the sides. It is just a cylindrical ship with a hydrogen tank and hydrogen engine, and it is lying like on its side, pointed towards the ground more than not. So if I fired up the engine, I would die. But if I just roll it like a fucking katamari until I naturally ramp off of the landscape into the air,
yeah,
then I'm fine, and that's what I did.
Yeah, you start to get like a little rocking, you know, from nose to tail, and eventually, uh-huh. you know.
And the second the nose is pointed at the sky, you just turn the engine on, and
yeah,
you're good.
That's all you need.
Yeah. Doesn't work on Earth, but
I guess that's just because
the engine's not good enough.
Yeah,
well, the hydrogen engines are actually really, they're incredibly efficient,
but
their
yeah,
output
low,
is not incredible. Delta V. Yeah. No, actually, high delta V, low thrust weight.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, delta V is the total, like, move some mm-hmm. shit capability, right?
Yeah.
That's like that's the energy, not the power.
Yes. You're right, we should stream some more Kerbal Space Program, too.
We really should, especially if there's, like, fucking... You can't do science mode co-op, I would assume. Like, two-person science mode probably doesn't
They've
work.
Talked... Like, not right now.
Yeah.
They've talked about it. They've said they're planning on doing something. It's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to Jack's Snacks? I have some snacks.
No, well, yeah, get yourself a snack. Ages and cheese. We do not have room.
So this is a lost episode of Jack Snacks, because when I was visited by Nick and Alan, we went to the grocery store and we got some stuff, and one of the things we got to try were trolley sour bursting crawlers, and then they fucking disappeared. I don't know what happened.
I vaguely remember this.
I wonder if Alan took them. I don't know.
Alan!
I just know that my house is not that big, and I put snacks in pretty consistent places, and they disappeared. However, today I went to Vaughn's to get crap to talk about on this episode, and shockingly, these are on clearance.
You don't think Alan went back and sold them this bag, and then this is the same bag?
You're correct. I don't think that.
Okay, good.
But oh, huh. Okay, so first of all, they are monocolor, right? Mm-hmm. Which sour gummy worms usually are not.
What is the color? I don't remember at this point.
Well, I'll post in a second. I believe there are a variety of colors here. We've got
red,
blue, and red, and orange. Yes, there is no green, which normally there is a green.
Yeah, that's a classic sour.
Go ahead and... I see why these were on clearance.
Are they, do they have a bit of a chew to them?
It's like... They're like extra thick gummy worms that are slightly wet on the inside. This is nothing.
Oh, God. You failed to mention that you get some free PUBG promotional, or some
it's
free
true. I did
PUBG
fail to mention
in-game
that.
Content. With I can't believe that there's PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds branded... made a trolley in the world.
Okay. I've been into a blue one. I have to take this picture because this is like showing you the doll at the fucking trial, right?
What?
Hang on. This will make more sense in a second when I take this picture. Fucking focus, you stupid camera.
Focus, you fuck.
Okay. Sir, can you show me on the gummy worm where exactly the fucking bursting is occurring?
I see. I can see there's a bit of a color gradient. There's some glare there, but there's a bit of a color change where the middle is a little darker.
Okay, but, I bit a little further, and there is a tiny pocket of sugar goo. Yeah, these are, I mean, they're not disgusting. They just suck.
Do you think they're better or worse than regular stale gummy worms?
Oh, stale gummy worms are the best gummy worms. You
That's
want
right,
them
because
stale.
Sixes. We haven't talked about Sixes fucking Chad Arnold Schwarzenegger jaw in a while. Six has to bite into concrete in the morning just to feel alive.
I just...
Like a fucking, I don't know, a dwarf, a gnome from some fantasy
Listen,
universe.
You get me fresh
rock.
Sour gummy worms, and I love sour candy, but like texture-wise, if I wanted to eat cotton candy, I'd buy fucking cotton candy. I want a little resistance.
I don't know, I'm thinking of Artemis Fowl. I think like gnomes and Artemis Fowl literally like eat rocks and then shit it out.
What are you talking about?
I'm serious. Artemis Fowl eating rocks.
Hope you get some fan art.
Oh yeah, mulch diggums. Oh god, this is there's a picture of the live action where it's like very horror. He's like unhinging because yeah, like I remember they unhinge their jaw. Hold on, eat. Okay. Not repeat offender. Diggums liked eating. The dwarf stood saying that Diggums liked eating dirt. But that tunnel, yeah, Diggums answered that he didn't know if lake was the right term, but that tunneling was something he had to do, an occupational hazard. Where do I get to this picture? Yeah, hold on. This is only slight. Oh fuck. What did I? Okay, here we go. Copy image. This is almost, but not quite too, disturbing to post without spoiler tags. This is Marsh Diggums unhinging his jaw in order to tunnel through dirt. Cause he's going to eat it. Look how big his fucking teeth are. They just like enlarged his to do this effect.
Yeah, this
it might
just,
have gone quickly on screen.
This is just like a fisheye lens. This
right.
Is...
Look at the size of that fucking molar. My God.
I mean, you can especially tell because his hand, like the hand that is closer to the camera is bigger.
Yeah. It was probably a quick effect in you know.
Sure, sure. It's just funny. I do also have Pringles Enchilada Adobo.
Wow. Adobada.
Adobada. Yes, excuse me. Adobada.
What is that?
Adobada.
Adobada.
They smell like Pringles.
And would you say that Pringles smells a little bit like cabbage?
Like cabbage? What?
Like cat piss.
Oh. No, I would not say that.
That's probably good.
These just taste like Pringles. I can't taste this flavoring at all.
Six, would you say that the hardest part of entrepreneurship is the uncertainty that all your sacrifice will be for nothing? That we give up everything now for nothing later, but then you remember the life you walked away from to pursue your dream and realize there's no going back, so you keep going?
No.
Oh, I see. Well, Eternal Envy reposted this on February 5th, so I was just checking to see if you shared his sentiment.
Do you think Eternal Envy is like, damn, I wish I could go back to being a punchline of the Dota community?
Go back to? Honey, you never left. It's okay. Just yesterday, he had his biggest loss ever on HKIT, got baited by the variable rate convertible notes and weird news, and also from feeling like I'm shorting too little on my A-plus gapper setups. Lesson learned, almost 10K lost on it. Went way too sized in and got fucked in PM first two after that long consolidation slash uptrend. First long on MLGO lol, but then missed the short cuz now I'm long bias the face, this emote face. What would you say this emote face is? I posted an episode notes. It's the right carrot underscore right carrot face.
It is the, like, gosh, it's a very specific emotion. Yeah, you know,
it's relatable. It to like, hard to describe.
You are slightly, like, hesitantly, like,
a bit of a cringe.
It's like discomfort, like social discomfort. Squinted but eyes. it is not without, it's within a certain bounds where it's like, this isn't breaking the moment for me, but I feel a bit awkward right now.
I'm typing in what it looks like if I use the, like,
right, if you have the Lapsus Brokers thing facing each other, right, that's the thing is, those are two different ones.
Yeah.
If the carrots face inward, that is just sort of like a ga kind of thing.
Right.
But them facing the same direction implies a level of awkwardness.
It's true. What if I do both, let's try, both to the left instead of both to the right? How does that change? Oh, it doesn't look right.
It does not look right. You're correct.
I don't know why.
It looks like you, it's looked like, what if you photoshopped an emoji so that instead of eyes, they had poggers faces?
I don't think it does look like that, actually. Oh, interesting. Which probably would have made more, because I was only half-sized on the long, but I guessed I was half-sized on everything. Sized in way too little afterwards, like one half from the HKIT scare. Could have made back all the money, lol. Looking forward to the next few days. So, like everyone else, like Eternal Envy, I hope that everyone else is looking forward to the next few days. This has been Senior... I don't want to claim to be a correspondent of anything. I'm more of a correspondent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, you do know. Oh, he clarifies in a reply tweet or exit or whatever. Oh, about minus 5K with commissions slash fees slash locates, whatever locate is. Perhaps some sort of fee to find something.
Sure, that sounds plausible.
Yeah. Somebody replied whose name is Zero Kelvin, but with like gamer elite speak for the Kelvin in their tags. That's really something. Okay, that's pretty good, actually. I see what Six was working on while being non-responsive. A great, for the audio listener, we've got a great image of a straight-faced emoticon, like with a yellow face, except it has Twitch Poggers emotes, which is like a snake with a wide face and
it's Komodo dragon, actually.
Really?
Have you never seen the original?
No, I've never seen the original Poggers source material.
This is not the original, but this is the replacement Poggers, right?
Oh, I see.
Because the original Poggers was a guy who is an alt-right asshole, and they were like, wait, we don't want our brain associated with
Poggers canceled? Sounds like an Onion article. Zero Kelvin, by the way, was very excited when One Piece had been renewed at Netflix.
That's good. Wow, I thought we had more episode because we had such good momentum and it just died.
What are you talking about? We're looking at... Oh, six, big news here. Oh, wait, you're fucking kidding. This isn't
the McRib
joke.
Is back.
The McRib is back. Yeah, I'm... Six. There is a very non-zero chance that either AI, like some AI has already made this, or eventually the real Keanu Reeves will say the line, yeah, I'm thinking the McRib is back. Or the McRib will like be speaking with a mouth, like a little puppet McRib mouth will say, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back or something in a McDonald's commercial. But no, what I actually said was wow too, is that there was a Dota 2 patch, which I believe is purely cosmetic, according to my teammates, because in an hour we are playing a We Like Dota League game. The We Like Dota League is back, and the Greg Stack is playing on it. We have, where's the fucking button on Twitter? I never use Twitter anymore to share. And you'll, oh, I don't know how to fix this, because you said you have to use FX Twitter. The first ever cosmetic for the Ancient has been released. It's the Ancient Dragon King. This must be a Lunar New Year thing.
Uh-huh.
Which seems very distracting. Like, very distracting.
There I mean, it's on the Ancient. It's fine.
That's true, but I don't know. Like, during, like, a big, like, fountain race or something, this is way too much, right? No?
See, this is the thing, is some people, like... know.
It
you can't
beautiful.
Have it both. You can't have it both ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can complain about my skill ceiling and stuff, or you can say that these cosmetics are bad because at glance value, that sounds like easy mode, bro. I think real challenge, real skill is being able to see through the particle effects.
I mean, you're not going to mistake the Radiant Ancient for the Dire Ancient, so I guess, you know, the glance value meme isn't relevant. They do look very pretty. There's a, you know, a different version for Radiant and Dire with the green and live versus red and evil and rocky, craggy look. Although I guess now that I look at it, it's more of a palette swap, but that's fine.
The art makes it look more different. I guess, can you show me the model? Because I only have the art.
Oh, if you click on the tweet, there's a... Oh god, there's a sound. Sorry, I accidentally clicked on the tweet and there's a sound. Is there a different sound for Radiant and Dire? Let's see, what happens when I post this?
Oh god, that's loud.
That's a loud sound. It's not a very good sound on Twitter.
The Dire one looks a lot better.
It looks a little... It, less it like a Gyarados better. Or whatever. That's a Pokemon name I remember.
Okay, I can see it.
I think that's the name.
That I mean, you pronounce it a little funny, but yeah.
Interesting. Oh, sorry. No, there was actual details. I was only looking at the cosmetic. Just released less than an hour ago. There you go. It seems like you found it. The Dragon's Gift will... No, sorry. That's the title of the blog.
Yes.
We are hard at work on an upcoming update we're calling Crownfall. So the next Dota 2 update will be called Crownfall. It sounds like we got to quickly take it to Bottle Crow. People who are born in the year of the dragon are known for their generosity, prosperity, and good luck. Must be nice. For those of us who don't have a magical dragon granting us gift-giving superpowers, we've introduced red envelope-themed Dragon's Gift, available from now through March 7th. They work exactly how they're named, treasures that can only be given and opened by whoever you choose as a recipient. And for those of you who would rather not wait around to the generosity of we've got traditional dragons that hoard treasures as well. So there's 17 new Lunar New Year theme cosmetics, good hats, and a bonus chance for a dragon's gift or new unusual effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what this giving chest means.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it, I mean, it's the same thing as like, this is a Chinese New Year thing of, like, you give, like, the red envelope, with, right. You know. And so that's just their equivalent is we're giving out some treasure. And some, like, I think I guess I haven't seen the other cosmetic sets. I'd be curious to see those, but that'll be, we'll do that later.
Of course.
Probably off the air and then never post about it or something. I don't know. And one of them is this, this new ancient, which like, that's fine. The thing is, it's a building and it doesn't have any animations. Like the thing will fly around it, but it's not like you can do like a tower and have it have special animations for attacking people or something.
Right.
So, I don't know.
You think we should read through all the ability draft fixes they included as part of this update, this cosmetic update?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
No, that's not, I don't think that's the vibe. So, you, Crown Fall, huh?
Crown Fall. What do you,
do you think this,
Crown. We've got like Wraith King.
We do have Wraith King, but Wraith King's already had a bunch of shit, right? There's already this is probably the new Arcana, I would guess, because they keep saying they have an Arcana for us.
Right.
Wraith King already has one. He has Skeleton King.
Right.
They could give him a second one, and frankly, it's not beyond them to give someone two Arcanas before they give other characters one. Right. But I think it's more likely maybe it's Sand King.
Sand King. That's that would make sense. I could see that.
Because Monkey King already has one, too.
Yeah.
Monkey King launched with one.
I was trying to think how many kings we have in the game, and I only thought of Wraith King initially for some reason. I got fixated on Wraith King.
Well, we also now have the Ancient Dragon King, I believe. So we're up to four now.
Wow. Go off King, as they say.
Do we have any others? I don't think we do. I think that's it for kings.
I think so. Also, new cheat detection code rolled out, so that's exciting. Get banned.
I'm very excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Cool. Great.
Great. That was Bottle Crow.
It was. I'm just imagining how they're going to make it some other character now. I'm like, this is the King Tidehunter update.
They're going to make Horny Dark Willow the biggest oversight. They're going to cash in. They've been pumping it up on Reddit. Secretly, all the bots have been pumping up the biggest oversight meme when it comes to Dark Willow.
I think we need to get some new cheating software for Reddit then.
New get cheating software for Reddit.
Like they just, I'm just making reference to the fact they had new cheating software for the video game. Cheat detection code, whatever.
Nick, shut the hell up.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, everyone. We'll be back with another episode at some point in the future.
Six, I have a real quick question before you leave that I'm supposed to ask.
The BBC would like to...
That I have to ask in a night at the Sin Iima.
Okay. The BBC would like to announce that the next scene is not considered suitable for family viewing.
Wait.
It contains scenes of violence involving people's heads and arms getting chopped off.
Dude!
Their ears nailed to trees and their toenails pulled out in slow
motion.
Fuck,
man! Thank God!
Did we talk about, maybe on the Garnet Wager, spies in disguise?
No. We did not.
Okay.
Why?
I'm
aware of it.
Okay, I watched it yesterday, and I was told my girlfriend swears that I was the one who talked about it like a month ago. I'm gonna blame Alan. Maybe we said something on a different podcast.
I know we mentioned it. There was it came up during a Scanline meeting, but I don't think you were part of it.
Interesting. Okay.
Because we did an episode for December. We did like movies that were released on Christmas Day, and this is one of the ones that was.
Oh, I see. I guess of note, Will Smith's character's animated chin is disturbing in this movie. Like it's chin for days. It's a real stylistic choice.
He does have an equal ratio of space from lip to chin and lip to top of head.
That's almost more from lip to chin.
Almost more, but I think that's mostly a trick of the way it's drawn. I think it's going to be the goatee if you do framing. The measurements. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Peace.
Later.